So it's been a little while, but we're at the end now of Colossians. And we'll just do a bit of a brief recap of what we looked at, where we started and where we've come to. So the church in Colossae was a church not actually started by Paul. It was started by someone who had heard Paul preach the gospel, and he trusted in Jesus, and then went back to his hometown, Colossae, and started a church there. Now, the reason for the letter was that the church was facing challenges, like many churches do, but these challenges were that you need to earn your way to holiness. You need to do all these religious things and activities to make yourself more like Jesus. And Paul seeks to encourage and remind believers of all that God has done for them in his glorious Son. You see, through faith in Christ, they live in Christ according to who they are in Christ. I'll just say that again. Through faith in Christ, they live in Christ according to who they are in Christ. Now, last week we saw this encapsulate the scope of the two areas of life that dominate our life, and that is work and family. What does it look like to follow Christ in these areas? Now, some of you are aware, I'm a chaplain now down at Swan Districts Football Club, and I've been really impressed with the changes they're trying to bring within this club. That's part of the reason I got the gig, is they want to make the club a place where people want to be, a place where people feel accepted and feel cared for. And a lot of the things they're doing are fantastic. I'm really thankful to be part of this, to be able to have an opportunity to care for people and speak with them and hopefully share the gospel with them. But as I was thinking about it, the things that they're trying to do in the club are quite similar to what we try to do here at church. We want people to feel welcomed and cared for. So the question came to my mind, what's the difference between a caring community and a caring Christian community? And so we get to our passage this evening. What does this have to do with our passage? Well, when we get to the end of most of Paul's letters, we can kind of treat them like the credits at the end of the movie. We've got what we've come for. We get what he's just going to say thanks and g'day to a few people, so we can scroll over it really quickly. But these words are still inspired by God. These words have something important, and they can teach us and instruct us. Well, in these closing words, we'll see what characterizes a caring Christian community. We see what makes church different from every other earthly organization that wants to encourage and build community. You see, the caring Christian community prays, they proclaim, and they participate. So firstly, the caring community prays. We see this in chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I read further than I should have. I just realized that then. If prayer is so important, why does Paul leave it till the end? Well, he doesn't really do this in this letter. The teaching in this letter is bracketed by his prayer at the start and then his call to prayer at the end. You see, prayer is to be a priority for Christians. It's quite a distinctive feature of who we are as Christians. It requires humility. It means acknowledging our weakness and frailty. We don't have the answers. We don't have control. We don't know the future. We can't handle the situation, so we go to the one who does. And as Ian was speaking about earlier this evening, prayer is asking God for what he wants to do and what he wants to give according to his will. We've learned part of what he wants for our lives, part of his will for our lives previously in chapters 3, verse 1, through to chapter 4, verse 1. What does it mean to follow Jesus? This is part of God's will for our life. And if we understand what we're being instructed to do, what is part of God's will for our life, we realize that there's nowhere in our own strength and wisdom that we can do it ourselves. So we're to devote ourselves to prayer. Now think about what this means, devoting yourself to prayer. Because when you devote yourself to something, it means that you're committed to something. You sacrifice other things in order to do it. We set aside time, we prioritize it, we put in time and effort, and we're to do this for prayer. But what aids this devotion to prayer? We see in verse 2, we're to be watchful and thankful. We're to be watchful for things to give to God and watchful for God working in our world. From what we notice in creation, again, as Ian was saying, as you see spring and you see all these things coming out, these flowers, you can see God in creation and just be in awe of Him. It can also be the essay submission. Maybe it's the talk you've got to have with your family member. All these things, there's not one bit of our lives that are outside God's interest. As we're watchful for these things, we cannot help be moved to thanksgiving for all the good God has done for us, all that He's given us. And we'll also be more aware of answered prayer. We have been watching, we've submitted it to God, and then because we are watching, we see that He's answered it. We're thankful for that. We have more reasons to give thanks. So you see that these two things work together. As we're watchful for things to pray for, we can be thankful for when God answers prayer. As we're thankful to God for answered prayer, we're more watchful for His working in our life and the world around us. And so as we pray, the Spirit aligns us to God's will and purpose. Much like this illustration, I haven't got it down perfectly, but the illustration of the wind, as we're boats without rudders, and as the wind blows, the Spirit's working in our life as we're praying, it directs us in the way that God wants us to go. As we're aligned to God's will and purpose, we see God working. We see things to pray for, and we see things to give thanks for. And so just right now, have a think. What are some things to pray for? What are some things to give thanks for? Now, if you're struggling to think of something, consider what God has done for us in Christ. And we did this previously with Ian, just reading a couple of those verses. These wonderful things God has done for us in Christ, that can always be something to give thanks for, no matter what situation we're in good times or bad times. We can always be thankful for our salvation. And then after that, if you're still struggling of things to pray for, Paul helps us in the next verses 3-4. Paul reminds us to pray for those God has set aside for ministry. We'll just read that again. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So even though he was an apostle, he needed prayer support for himself and for his ministry. So if Paul felt the need for prayer support, then every person God has set aside for ministry needs your prayer. And what do we pray for them? Well, Paul, he's in prison at this time, and he's not asking, pray for me to be let out so I can be more effective. He says, no, pray that the doors of ministry might be opened, that I might have opportunities to tell people about Jesus. It's more important to Paul that he and his fellow workers be faithful in proclaiming the message in whatever situation they're at, and proclaiming it clearly. And we see him speak of the message and the mystery. So what is that? What is the message and mystery? Well, let's look briefly back throughout Colossians about these, how he describes the message and the mystery. So firstly, we see in chapter 3, verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing to God with gratitude in your heart. Then we see in chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Then we see in chapter 1, verses 24 to 27, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then again in chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, and he's speaking of his prayer, his thanksgiving for the Colossians. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You see, this message and the mystery is what God has done for us in Christ, to bring dead, sinful enemies into right relationship with Himself. So if there is ever a message you want to proclaim faithfully, it's this one. If there's ever a message that you want to proclaim clearly, it's this one. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, if Paul is asking for prayer, how much do your pastors need prayer? Do ministry volunteers at the youth groups, at the door knocking, at the aged care ministries? How much more do these people need prayer? All those God has set aside for proclaiming Jesus Christ. So do we pray this for our pastors? Do we pray this for our ministry leaders? Do we pray this for the many and various ministries that happen in Basso? However, this prayer is not to be limited for those God has set aside for ministry, for we are called to proclaim this message and mystery in whatever circumstance God has placed us in. Do you see that in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 4? Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You see, the caring Christian community are proclaimers of the message of Christ. Therefore, the prayer for open doors for the gospel should also be a personal one. And the implications of this kind of prayer is that we're mindful of how we act around those who are not believers. You see, Christians are called to be different. If we're to make any effort in living according to chapter 3 verse 1 through to 4 verse 1, our lives will be different. But there's also the call for wisdom in living. And what kind of wisdom is this? You see, wisdom isn't just knowledge or understanding. It's the best way to apply what we know in the situation that we're in. So we know we're ambassadors for Christ. We know we're God's children. So we apply that knowledge that we represent Christ, that we're a child of God to the situations we're in. So we live according to that. And one example is this, and this hit me pretty hard when I was at the footy club and still playing footy. So I really enjoy dancing. Like when there's a good tune on, I flail around pretty crazily. I get pumped off of music. Now, at one of the social functions that we had, I had had a drink, I had a beer, and then I was dancing, it was cool music, but the guys looking at me knew I was a Christian, they put, he's had a drink, and he's dancing like a drunk person. That was not the case at all, but that's what they assumed because of how I was acting. Now, even though I'm free in Christ to do both of those, not getting drunk, but having a drink and dancing, it's not a wise witness to those around me. Only drunk people would dance like that, that's what I was saying, but I just really like music, so. But it hit me pretty hard. I realized that my actions were affecting my gospel witness. It wasn't wise to have a drink and then go dancing, even though I'm free in Christ to do that. You see, it's not the similarities of our life that will cause people to notice Christians. It's the differences. It's not the similarities of our life that will cause people to notice Christians. It's the differences. So we need to be wise. We need to be wise about our actions because it affects our witness. And people will be watching us, especially if they know we're a Christian. They'll be watching us to see if what we say matches with how we live. But there's further motivation for wise living. Have you guys ever met the person, or you have a friend who always knows when there's a bargain on? I went to college with a person like this. They knew every day there was a free lunch day. They knew when you could go to a certain shop and get a free milkshake because it's your birthday or it's your name day. They also knew when there was cheap flights, which resulted in us flying to Bali. They just tend to know this. They know, okay, there's bargains coming, be aware of this. Maybe you're that person. And they actually are really handy friends to have. But this is the idea being communicated in this verse with making the most of every opportunity. Be aware of it so that when it comes up, you go for it. You see, when we're devoted to prayer, when we're living in a way that pleases God, we'll have opportunities present themselves, of which, like that bargain hunter, when they come, we make the most of it. So what does this mean? Well, I remember hearing this quote, "Preach Christ continuously, and when necessary, use words." Now, for me, I'm not a natural out there going and sharing the gospel with people. So I kind of like this verse, but it's not actually, scriptural. Because we're told to communicate the gospel through words. People can't hear it otherwise. And I was always impacted by this story on Christianity Explored, where there was a guy who never told anyone. He was in this workplace for 20 years or something. Never told anyone he was a Christian. And as they were finishing up, they said, "Man, you are such a nice guy, and we figured that you must be a Buddhist. Is that the testimony we want?" All because he never said that he was a Christian. So what does it mean to make the most of every opportunity? We see what that means in chapter 4, verse 6. "Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." So our conversations consist of the following ingredients. Eternal truth. When possible, use God's truth. Honesty. Humility. Patience. Confidence in what you believe. Being considerate of someone else's view. And proclaiming these eternal truths. You see, they leave a taste in someone's life. They leave people thirsting for more. So when the time comes to make the purchase, to get the bargain, we don't always need to spend all our money. Sometimes we think a successful conversation, a godly conversation, is when someone has repented of their sins and believed in Christ. But that's very rarely the case. It can actually just be starting off by saying, "I'm a Christian. I go to church on the weekend. I'm involved with these ministries." It can be an honest, "I don't know the answer to your question you've got now, but I will follow it up." And you actually do follow it up. It can be sharing about what God has done in your life. Your personal testimony is a powerful witness. It can be like a friend of mine does. When he does these acts of kindness for people, he says, "This is not me doing this. This is Christ's love in me that makes me want to love you." Because when you think about it, we're not naturally going to go out of our way for people. It's only Christ's love in us. Without him, we wouldn't be doing these things. And it's important to think this through. Because unfortunately, the reality is we're not always on the lookout. We're not always watchful. We're not always thankful. We're not always making the most of every opportunity. And when these opportunities do come up, because of that preparation, that prayer that's not there, we miss them. And I've done this so many, many times. I remember I used to drive end of the freeway to end of the freeway. And so with one other guy, and we'd have heaps of conversations about everything. And so often he'd mention something, I'm like, okay, there's a little opportunity there, but because I wanted him to like me, or I wasn't really switched on, I was more concerned about myself, I just missed that. And so then, you know, for the next 3 hours we'd be talking about footy or something. Just missed that opportunity. I've done that so many times. But you see, the caring Christian community is not inward focused. Yes, there are things happening in our lives. Yes, there's busyness, there's family things, there's all these other things that happen. But like my friend, he gets his love from Christ. We can put those things to the side. And when we're preparing through prayer and being on the lookout, we have opportunities to proclaim the hope that we have in Christ to others. Now, one of the blessings about the challenge of sharing Christ with others is that it naturally is and makes us so dependent on Christ. We need him. We need him as we seek to live in a wise way that pleases God. But we also need him to proclaim his glory to those around us. We need him to change our attitude to the way we are approaching our life. Again, this is why we devote our lives to prayer. Now, as a caring Christian community, we proclaim the message of Christ to those around us who don't know God. Because all Christians are involved in this, we join in a wonderful work that millions of Christians have been doing for centuries. And we join in the wonderful work that God will continue to do in all those who truly love and follow Christ. And we see this in the last verses, verses 7 through to 18. Because the caring Christian community are participating in God's work. Now, it's important to read these last verses because many of us can view Paul as this lone ranger. He's this superhero who does all these incredible things by himself. But we're reminded at the end of these letters that he was definitely not alone. There were many other helpers, there was many other ministers who served God along with Paul. So have a think to yourselves. How can we participate in the great work of serving God? Well, we get some examples in these closing verses. So in verses 7 to 9 of chapter 4 and verses 16 to 17, we see the importance of passing on information. So you've got Tychicus, or T-Dog, as I want to call him, and Onesimus, and they're being sent by Paul to inform the Colossian church about what is happening in Paul's life. Now, these guys were clearly loved by Paul, so it would have been easy for him to have them there with him, encouraging him. But he wants these guys to encourage others, to pass on news about Paul and other things as well. And we also see Paul direct the church to pass on a letter, this letter, Colossians, to other churches, so that they may know the truth, and then there to receive letters from these other churches, so that they may be guided. We see that in verse 16. And in verse 17, we see a specific instruction to Archippus, encouraging him in ministry. Now, do you see the value of what they're doing? How do we go communicating what God is doing in our families, in our workplace, in our church, in our youth group, or other ministries? How do we go sharing with what God has taught us to our Christian family or friends? Do we encourage those serving in our church to persevere in what they're doing? You see, passing on information and truth to our fellow believers is a vital way of participating in God's great work. In verses 10 to 11, we see the importance of comforting each other. There are three fellow Jews with Paul, one who's alongside Paul in chains, and the other two who are brothers in Christ. And these guys are a great comfort to Paul. And as Jews, they've turned away from centuries of tradition and teaching and culture to follow Jesus. And since that time, they've been working hard that others may experience life in Christ. I can't tell you how comforting it is when me and Ian hear of people within our church who love and serve each other and this community. They don't want to be seen, they don't want to be on stage, but they're working hard to love and care for the people around them. It comforts us because it shows that people within our church, within this community here at Bassendean, have been captured by the love God has shown them in Christ. And so they want to love and care for those around them. In verses 12 to 13, we see the importance of having support in ministry. Now, we learn here about Epaphras, and we know God used Epaphras to start the church in Colossians. And so he has a really big-time investment in the church in Colossae. But Paul reveals how much so. He is always wrestling in prayer. But what is his prayer specifically? That this church will stand firm in the will of God, mature and assured. For you see, he isn't just praying, he's also working very hard, working with his hands. The desires of his heart that are being expressed in prayer also showing themselves through the work of his hands. You see, praying for this church here at Basso, praying for other churches around the world that you're connected to, is a great way to participate in God's work. But it doesn't stop with prayer. Are you seeking to serve your church? Is your prayer overflowing to service? In verses 14 and 15, we see the general greetings, and we also see the importance of hosting. So these verses show us the importance of staying in touch with other Christians that we're connected with in other locations. Now, technology these days makes it a lot easier. We think of Isaac and Amy, we can still stay in contact with them. Is there a brother or sister we need to say a quick hello to and say that we're thinking of you or praying for you? Is there a missionary that we should encourage? And we also see the valuable service of hosting and hospitality. Opening up your house for Bible studies, hospitality lunches, inviting people over for dinner. Now, hospitality is an age-old custom that goes across all cultures. And it's something that Christians should be the best at. And then in verse 18, we see that Paul wants the church to remember the situation he is in. But there's more to it than just remember that he's going through hardships, that he's in prison. He wants them to remember why he is in chains. Because he's in chains for declaring the message of the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So remember, Christians are suffering. Remember why they are suffering. They need our prayers and encouragement. Let us not forget them. So are you participating in God's work? Just imagine you've been working alongside Paul, or you know Paul, and he's writing a letter to the Bunbury Aboriginal Fellowship who we're connected to. What would Paul say about you? Would he commend you? Or would he warn people of you? We see at the close of this passage, Paul is definitely not a lone ranger. He needs the prayer and support of many others around him. He needs their encouragement, but he also knows that they've got to encourage other people. There are many other people involved in the same goal as Paul. And each of us can have a role to play in God's glorious work. And this should encourage us in the close of the letter, because we're never alone in serving God. As we look to our left, as we look to our right, we can see people who are just as nervous about sharing the gospel with our workmates. We can see people who find it hard to devote time to prayer. And so then we encourage each other to look forward to our Saviour, who has done it all. Because it's not about us and our capabilities, it's about Him, who He is and what He's done for us. So how do we move forward? On our knees. Since God's work is bringing about people to Himself through Jesus Christ, we look to God for help. We look to God for guidance. And we look to God for direction. We get together with other Christians and we pray for our workmate. We pray for wisdom. We ask God for help. We ask God for open doors, and then we keep our eyes peeled. And then we thank Him for the opportunities He provides. We thank Him for answered prayer. And we tell others about what He's doing. We all participate in this great mission together. We join hands with our brothers and sisters next to us, behind us and in front of us, and encourage each other in the great work of God. So again, what is the difference between a caring community and a caring Christian community? A caring Christian community knows they need God's help, so they devote themselves to prayer. Now, prayer is important, especially as they seek to live wisely and proclaim the message of Christ to those around them. And since they are devoted to prayer and proclamation, they all participate in this great goal in many and various roles as they strive together, working hard to serve God. Let's close in prayer. Father, how desperately we need You. Sometimes we can consider these words and the call to proclaim Your goodness, the call to participate in our work, and we can just feel like we're not doing enough or feel like it's another weight on our back. But You haven't called us to a heavy burden. Help us understand this and help us clear out things in our life that are really a burden so that we can be freed up in participating in this work. We thank You so much for the hard work You've done for us in Christ Jesus, who gave up His life, taking the punishment that we deserve so that we can be in right relationship with You. Please give us clarity and understanding and wisdom moving forward. Please give us opportunities to share Jesus with our workmates. Please give us opportunities to get together with a Christian brother or sister to pray and encourage each other in this. We thank You, Father, for Your word that is given to us. And we thank You for what we've been able to look at throughout Colossians and the great declarations of what You've done for us in Jesus. And also with giving us great wisdom, practical wisdom in how we live following Christ. Whatever's working in our hearts now through Your Spirit, help us to hold on to that and to move forward on our knees. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.